You talk about a very relevant passage for us this morning and all the things going on around us. Today we're picking back up in the Sermon on the Mount series. We'll be finishing by February 12th. Will be the final one on the Sermon of the Mount. And then we're going to have some special speakers in February. And then in March, we're going to actually begin a series on the bait of Satan, about taking offense. And the guys at the men's house, they go through that book because it's so easy for people to get offended. And we're going to dig into that. And it's going to be a 14-week series on taking offense. And then sometimes we are the offenders. So we have to take a look at our words. So those are some of the things coming up here. And but this morning, overcoming worry. And this passage, boy, worrying about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink. You just see this worry and fear causes a division in our mind, splitting thoughts between today and tomorrow. The end of this passage, you know, notice Jesus brings across, take care of today. Don't worry about tomorrow, but take care of today. Scripture brings across that when we worry, we are in a place where we are doubting the goodness of God in our lives. Jesus is bringing out in this passage that worry demonstrates a lack of faith in God. As he talks about the birds of the air, that they don't do all these things that we do. And again, this is not, we're going to talk about concern and preparation, not being worry. But worry is a deep-seated where I just keep dwelling on things that I really can't change. So there is a difference here in that. But we need to recognize that God calls us to trust in him, and we must not confuse worry with a lack of preparation. I'm called to commit my ways to the Lord. King Solomon understood this. He says in Proverbs 16, to humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem innocent to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything in its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. I am not to worry about tomorrow. I am called to take care of today. Now, Jesus brings out, and this is what I want to go into now, that preparation and understanding where we're at in light of life is not, what'd you say, worry. Listen to what Jesus says here in Luke 12. When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately say, it's going to rain. And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? And we need to consider the days we're living in. We have it every week. We are praying for our country. It is very serious, the days we are living in. And I think a lot of people around us don't really see the seriousness of the problems that we are facing. In fact, just recently, we had our power go out. How many lost power in that storm? Okay, quite a few people did. We did, but thankfully we have a generator that kicks on. We just this last fall had a class called Lights Out, what to do when the power goes out. And it emphasized that we need, and this is not worry, this is just preparation, that we need to be able to stay warm, we need to have water, and we need to have food. If we can do that, we can make it through whatever comes. And this is the thing. We are constantly, do you notice in the media now how much they're talking about power outages, blackouts, all these things, it seems like more and more they're saying that they're coming. And we're seeing these things. And obviously, that storm, anytime we have a storm, that can happen. So it's not worrying and fretting to be prepared. And I would encourage you to have a plan. In fact, this last one, there were, and I know Kathy was one, you guys were stuck. Their trees were across the road. They couldn't get out. And it's serious when we have that. And we need to have plans for how we can stay warm. And if we can go to a place where we can, in fact, that was the thing. The schools opened. I think the Wesleyan Church opened where people could go to stay warm in this time. And I know all the churches of the community would work together if that would have gone any longer. I know just south of us here, they were out close to a week in some areas down by Radisson and Ojibwa. So it is. This is serious stuff this time of year. And so we need to be prepared for things like that. Jesus in the parable of the 10 virgins talks about the 5 wise virgins and that were prepared, had their oil and their lamps trimmed and ready. That's what I want to be. I want to be ready. And again, it is not worry. We don't want to be the foolish ones that are just taking life and then all of a sudden, as it says in that parable, the call comes out and they're not ready. The event happens. It takes place. So being prepared is not a sign of lack of trust, but a realization that life can get very difficult. And we need to take to heart the warnings of Scripture. Noah, everyone laughed and mocked at Noah for being preparing an ark. And I love how Hebrews 11 brings across about Noah. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. So it is important for us to be prepared. And our ark up here would be having our houses ready to take whatever can come. And that's why having the roof shoveled, that's not worry. That's wisdom, because how many times do we see situations where roofs collapse? In fact, I think our Rachel's in-laws, their little garden shed collapsed already under the weight of the snow. So it is. It's a serious stuff. But what does worry accomplish? I want to get at that. Worry does not accomplish anything. And in fact, it says, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? No, it isn't. And why do you worry about clothes? And see how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. And so we take this to heart. Here's a list of physical things that worry can do to us. It can, number one, disrupt our sleep, give us headaches. Number two, three, difficult concentrating. Four, nausea. Five, muscle tension. Six, exhaustion. Seven, irritability. 8, elevated levels of stress hormones, cortisol. And 9, difficulty making decisions. Okay, so now that's from a medical website on what worry can do to us. So Jesus is hitting on a very relevant subject here. Worry is not good. And now, concern, and this is the thing, there's a difference. A few weeks ago when we got all that heavy, wet snow, I heard my deck creaking. I'm like, so guess what we did? We went out and quickly shoveled it. And guess what? It quit creaking. So here is the one thing about concern. It can sometimes motivate us to solve a problem. Okay, we see the stuff on our roofs. It's like, hey, that's not worry. That's, hey, godly concern. Hey, we need to take care of our things and our property, and that's a good thing. And so, secondly, it can help us to prioritize my tasks. I didn't wait around and sit and dwell on, well, I wonder tonight if that deck is going to collapse. It's like, no, I got out and I did something. That was a priority. So we need to make things a priority. And thirdly, concern can enhance my motivation to get things done. So those are three positives of concern. The worry Jesus is speaking here is a deep-seated attitude of worry about the life that we're living and the challenges that we face. Now, here's a couple quotes, and these are anonymous quotes, but I thought, man, these are good quotes. Worrying does not empty tomorrow of its trials, but it often empties today of its triumphs. I like that one. And here's another one. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. So think about that. We're sitting in our rocking chair, worrying. Isn't going to solve anything. So, deep-seated worry is definitely sin. Worrying is bad for our mental and physical health. It has negative impacts on our mind and body. And secondly, worrying cannot get you where we want to go in life. It cannot solve any of our problems or change our situation. And worry is a clear indication that we are not trusting God. Now, that doesn't mean that we say all this, that it's like, oh, I never worry. I tell you, my mom, and none of you, I don't know, my mom passed away before, she was here, I don't know, I think she's been out here. She passed away in 2009, one day short of 92. But my mom was the queen of worry. My mom, well, in fact, she would not let me go deer hunting with my brother, who was 20 years older than me. In Wisconsin at that age, or at that time in the 70s, 12 years old was when we could legally go hunting. I could go bird hunting, but I could not go deer hunting because for sure I was going to get shot. And so finally, after 2 years, my brother working on her and me working on her, she finally consented. But did she just happy to let us go that morning? Oh, no. It was, she always worried. In fact, one time, even out duck hunting, I'm sitting out there in a blind, and I'm with my buddy from high school, and we got our limit of ducks that night. It was one of those awesome nights, and it wasn't even close to dark yet. And all of a sudden, we hear this horn beeping. My friend goes, "What's that?" I says, "It's my mom." I'm sure she's thinking we shot each other, and so he laughed, and we already had our ducks, so we got out and went out, and sure enough, that was her. "Oh, you guys, what are you doing so late?" I said, "Late, it's not even dark." But that's the way my mom was, so I had quite the example to say, I don't want to be that way. And then, but this morning, I just want to open up. What do you worry about? You anyone want to share about things that cause you to worry? Anyone have something on the top of your list? Well, now you say, well, you say all that. I don't want to admit I worry. Yeah.
Well, I was wondering about the snow on my roof this morning, and lo and behold, this sounds like it could be solved here.
Yes. Yes, definitely. And that's it. And I want us to take note of that. Concern and worry are two different things. Concern motivates action. Worry just spins your wheels, basically. So, anyone else? Yeah.
I worry a lot of getting my papers in and my taxes done so I'm not penalized. I imagine take my house.
Okay.
And then I lose papers, so I worry about those.
But you always make it through.
I think I can do it.
That's good. Someone else had their hand. Yeah.
Well, my worry was that, too. I walked out on the deck and heard the creaking. Yeah. So my worry turned into
Got your husband to do it, huh?
Okay, no worries.
That's good. Anyone else? Oh, way back, Kathy. Yes. No, that is a very true statement about that. And that is for sure. Yeah. And that's the whole point of this is that we're going to look here. In fact, we're going to look at 10 things that should motivate us to deal with worry, and we can overcome. And the last few verses here, verses 31 to 34, this is what Jesus says. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And so I have 10 things here that can help us to overcome worry. Number one, in that passage in verse 33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I cannot emphasize that enough. First Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Paul said to the Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So prayer is huge. Pray about things, commit things to God, surrender things. And Kathy stating about kids, yeah, when we lost our daughter, that whole situation there, you think about your kids all the time, and they never leave your concern, no matter how old we are. Oh, looking at all the grandparents here, and now are great. Some have great grandparents. You're concerned about your kids, your grandkids, your great grandkids. It is a great concern. But again, this should motivate us to pray for them, and to pray continually and lifting up these dear ones that are so close to our hearts. And know that when things do happen, that God is with us through the valley of the shadow of death and all the garbage that takes place. In fact, yesterday, and I know Dave and Leslie were at Leslie's brother's service yesterday, and celebrations of life and hearing testimonies. And I had a funeral yesterday. One of the ladies I worked with at co-op, same thing. It was like looking, in fact, so many people from, in fact, we were just thinking, the people at the co-op that used to all work there, there's been so many funerals lately of people just from that employment place in Hayward here. And yet yesterday, all the testimonies of us coming together, standing together as a community behind the family, that they all know that we love them and care about, and that's the way it should be, in that we can look forward to being together again with all those who've gone on ahead of us. And yes, it does hurt. There is a grieving process, and we need to, as Scripture says, grieve with those who grieve, rejoice with those who rejoice, comfort each other. And that is all a part of our call as brothers and sisters in God's family. Secondly, here, we need to distinguish between worry and concern. And we've talked about that very well here. But concern motivates us to do something to solve a problem or helpful ways to cope with them. Worry keeps us stuck, so we don't want to be stuck worrying. Thirdly, recognizing how little worry can help me. It doesn't solve anything. It doesn't have any power to prevent anything from happening. Also, many of the bad things we worry about never end up even happening. So worry is completely useless. Fourth, recognize how much worry harms me and you. In our whole list of 9 things that I went through of what it physically can do to us, and mentally, it's not good. Fifthly, identify what triggers worry in our lives. Many times, bad experiences, trauma, loss, accidents, difficult and unexpected situations that have happened to us in the past can trigger our worries. And it does. It takes special effort. Special, like, God, help me. Take my burdens. Take my cares. And again, it's not a lack of concern when we do that. So Jane, don't feel condemned because you're surrendering things. It's like, that's what we need to do. And so, but there are many things in our past that have, in fact, I have to say, when it comes to kids, I get concerned of, like, our son down in Texas. We don't get to see him very often, and we text and call each other and this kind of thing. And Rachel obviously is right here, and that helps being able to see. But all the things that happen, in fact, I know Rachel's even talked about some concerns about me with my crashes that every once in a while she hears on the scanner some crash, she's concerned it's not me again. you know, those are normal things, but again, things that we learn to deal with and not let be an albatross around our neck. And so, and sixthly, we have a choice to make. We can keep worrying, we can keep doing these things, or we can take, in fact, Scripture says, for though we live in the world, Paul said to the Corinthians, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And that's where it comes. I must take captive my worries and commit them to the Lord. And it is a spiritual battle. It is not easy, but it can be liberated. We can be freed from having worry be an albatross around our necks. Seventh, trusting in God to deal with our worries. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And that is a very good encouragement to us on working through the worries that we face. 8, look beyond our circumstances. Jeremiah 29:11, probably one of the more popular verses of Scripture. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And again, especially when we lose someone we love very close to us, unexpectedly, we think, well, yeah, what, you know, what good is that? What good is that? Where's the future for my child? Where's the future for our family? And those kinds of things. And it is normal to have those kinds of battles that come in. But when we look beyond that to see that, hey, this life is not the end. there is eternal life. Thank God that we can look forward to seeing our loved ones again, that we can have their voice. When we, in fact, Michelle and I were watching a testimony of a guy on the experience. He was an atheist, and his little boy was dying. And he was just, you know, if there was a God, he was furious at him. And just his whole testimony of how God got a hold of him in that situation and actually gave him a vision of what heaven was going to be, and that there is a God that loves us, was reaching out to touch him, and he was actually able to surrender his child who wasn't going to make it to God's hands, and he came back a totally changed man. In fact, he's out giving testimony right now. In fact, I'm looking at, see, I would love to bring that guy here, because it is, I listened to his testimony. It was just amazing, the change, because he did not believe in God at all. And yet through this vision that he literally had, it totally changed his heart. His wife was a Christian, had been praying for him. She was just blown away. It was like a switch went off in him. And he just totally changed and was able to commit their little child to the Lord and not be devastated like he was as he was facing his child's passing. And so that to me just encouraged me so greatly to see that God is at work in people's lives. And ninthly, live in the moment. Make today. Today is the day, Scripture says. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put off things to tomorrow. That's another thing. We can procrastinate. And in worrying, procrastination, none of those things are good. We need to just take what we have today, make the most of today, and move forward. And then 10, learn contentment. Paul said to the Philippians, he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Now, I think it's interesting to note, Paul says he learned. That's an ongoing process. That's it. I am learning. And it is. It's not easy to be content. How many are just always content? Anybody? No. Oh, okay. That's good. Tom, we need to. It is. And that is the call, that we should be content, whatever our situation. But it's not an easy thing. And Paul says he learned that. He learned through the experiences of life. And that's what God wants to do. All our experiences, both good, the plenty, and the want, the hard, difficult times. In fact, it's in those hard, difficult times where our character is made. That's where we find out what's really in me. It is exposed, and as Scripture says, it's like gold being put through the fire. It burns off the impurities in my life, and I have found that to be the case. And then Paul, and I love this passage. This is one we need to have in our hearts all the time, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As a follower of Jesus, I can make it through anything. I can make it through the battles with cancer. I can make it through the battles with diabetes. I can make it through the battles of whatever it is that you and I are facing as individuals here today. And that God is with me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. His word is a foundation. I get into his word and I get these into my heart. And I walk forth into the day doing the best that I can do, knowing that God will give me overcoming strength over all the challenges that we face. And Jesus told us, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And I take that to heart this morning that yes, I wish I could say this morning, none of you are going to have any troubles. None of you are going to have any problems. It's like, no, we're going to have trouble. We're going to have problems. But remember, we're in this together. God is with us. God will help us. And then, not just amongst ourselves as followers of Christ, but to the world around us. We need to reach out to people who may shake their fist at us and not agree with us at all. But we can see God work in and through us to reach these people by how we respond to them and not demonstrating anger and wanting to get people back, vengeance and all these things, but just surrender these things to the Lord and move forward in a life of faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for Jesus' words to us. Lord, this is so relevant. It is so easy to worry. And I pray that today, whatever we're worrying about, that we will commit to you, that we will pray with everything that is within us. And Lord, for our kids, for our grandkids, our great-grandkids, our country, all these things worry us. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will just work in and through us, that your Spirit will bring to our remembrance the truths of your word, which we can stand upon. There is a power in quoting these verses that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that I can overcome the obstacles that are before me. Every message to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, it says to him, to her who overcomes. And that is our calling. We can overcome. It doesn't mean that there are not problems and challenges. There are plenty of them. And so, Lord, we do. We look to you today, and I pray that you will speak to our hearts, that you will encourage us, and just help us to be the best that we can be. Help us to learn the secret of contentment and resting in the everlasting arms of our great God and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.